Hello everyone, welcome to the Paracaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Paracaleo Podcast. I'm excited to be with you today. I have a passage of scripture out of Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 2, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 13. And as I was thinking through this, what to title today's podcast, I kept coming back to this title. And it's more of a question than it is just a statement. But really the title is God's Approval or Man's? God's Approval or Man's? And I think many times in our lives we have to wrestle with we wrestle with this difficulty in our lives where we may say we don't fear people. I don't fear people. I don't care what people think. But many of us, even though we say things like that, we're paralyzed by pragmatism. We're paralyzed by people pleasing. We're paralyzed, and we submit and succumb to doing what others want us to do, what's popular with people, rather than what God's truly asking us or calling us to do. And this will make sense a little bit more as we read the passage. So I want to read it to you, and I just want you to hear the word of the Lord. So Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 2 through verse 13. Now, leading up to this, I just want to give you a little bit of backstory. So the people of Israel, Moses is leading them. They had come to the promised land that God promised that he would give them. And God told him that the land is theirs, but instead of taking the land, Moses sends in 12 spies, and the spies come back. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, say, hey, we can take the land. The land is great. It's exactly what God promised, and we can take this land. While the other 10, once again, succumb to fear and doubt, and they feared the people that were inhabiting the land, and so therefore they gave a negative report. They said, yeah, the land's great, it's exactly what God said it would be, but we can't take this. These people are too mighty for us, we can't do it. And so their judgment, that generation of people, their judgment was that they would die in the wilderness. They wouldn't inherit the land, only though their children, the generation under them, would inherit the land. And so what's interesting, though, is Moses was actually not condemned with the other generation. Moses was still going to be able to enter the promised land to lead. Once everybody that generation died, he was going to lead the people into the promised land. Originally, that's what was taking place. So you come to Numbers chapter 20, and they're wandering through the wilderness. Of course, God is with them, and he's supplying their needs like he has the entire time. And Numbers chapter 20, verse 2, it says this: Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now, this is not something new. I mean, the people, they complained about food, and God provided manna. They complained about manna, so God provided them quail. The people complained about the water, so God would provide them water. God was their shade by day and their fire by night. God literally supplied every one of their needs. He was always faithful to do so. But once again, you have the people doubting the Lord and doubting Moses. And he said, and so they assemble together, it says, and they come against Moses and against Aaron. In verse 3, it says, and the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Literally, they say, when the sons of Korah's rebellion, whenever these men rose up and they came against Moses and Aaron, and God told Moses, separate the people, those that are with the sons of Korah, and you and Aaron get on one side. So the people that are in rebellion, and then Moses and the rest of the, and Moses and Aaron. And Moses told them from the Lord, Moses said, you choose who you're going to be with. And if you're going to be with Moses and the people, if you're going to be with Moses and God, then you need to be on this side. If you're with the rebellion, you're on this side. I'm not sure why in the world you would choose to be when someone clearly states why you wouldn't want to be with on God's side. But regardless, the people, the sons of Korah and their rebellion, they go to that side. Many of the people do. And the Bible says that God sent a, swallowed them up. And so that happened earlier in the book. But the people said, we wish we would have perished with our brothers. They said, we wish we would have died with the rebellion. I mean, it's just foolish. Verse 4, they say, why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness? Obviously, that was their judgment, right? Because they didn't obey God. That we should die here, both we and our cattle. And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Once again, they were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years in brutal, absolute, terrible circumstances. But yet they said they'd rather be enslaved in Egypt. And so they're just complaining against Moses in verse 6. It says, then Moses and Aaron, they've done this every time. They went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And so they're troubled by this. They go to the Lord. They need wisdom. They need discernment. They need the Lord. And verse 7 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. And the Lord says, so you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give them drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff before the Lord as he commanded him. Then verse 10, then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, which, you know, I would imagine Moses is pretty frustrated with the people. He says, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. So you notice what happens here. Moses and Aaron go to the Lord. The Lord says, speak to the rock. Very clear. Moses comes before the people, and he proceeds to strike the rock with his staff. And as a result, what happens? I find this so interesting. Water comes from the rock. The people are satisfied. The animals are satisfied. Moses is seen as the hero. He saved the day, by the people at least. But then you go to the last part of the text, and it says that because you did not believe in me, God says, and uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Moses disobeyed God. God had given him clear instructions, told him exactly what he was to do, and yet Moses did what he wanted to do. Now in the past, Moses did strike a rock and water flowed, and that's because God told him to. Now God says, speak to the rock. Moses disobeys. Moses does what he has done before, what he knows will work. And the people rejoice. Their needs are met, and it seems as if things are good. But then Moses experiences God's judgment for disobedience. And so, if I was to preach this text, it may look maybe a little bit different. I'd probably go a little bit more in depth with certain things, but I want to really just give you a devotional thought today. That's really my goal. And I want to ask you this question: God's approval or man's? Leonard Ravenhill, a preacher, I believe he was a Scottish preacher. I might be wrong on that, but I believe he was a Scottish preacher, Leonard Ravenhill. He said this: if you have the smile of God, what does it matter if you have the frown of men? I think that quote sums up this passage very, very well. I think we recognize that obedience to God isn't always maybe what's practical or what's pragmatic or what isn't maybe what people may think it should be. I mean, think about this for a moment. I just want to share with you four things about obedience to God and how our motive should be God's approval and not man's approval. So let me just share with you a few things, just a few thoughts here about obedience to God. The first thing is obedience to God doesn't mean popularity. Obedience to God doesn't always mean popularity. Many times I think we fall into this trap of we want to be loved by people so much that and we want to have the approval of others so much that we often think that if we can obey God and do exactly what God wants us to do, and we can be loved by the world. And I hate to break this to you, but James chapter 4 tells us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Now, what I'm not saying is that obedience to God means that we should just try to have problems with everybody. That's not my point. My point is you will find obedience to God is often not popular. This world has taken what God has created and has made its own perversion of it. God says this is marriage between a man and a woman. And then the world says, no, this is marriage between a man and a man, a woman and a woman. However, they redefine God's design, and it's a perversion. And I want you to understand that if you stand firm in the Word of God, you stand firm in obedience to God, you will not be popular. I mean, think about the prophets all throughout the Old Testament. They would stand up, they would speak truth from God. And Jesus himself said, you've killed the prophets that have come before me. You and your fathers have killed all the prophets that God has sent because you don't want to hear truth. You don't like what God has to say. You don't want to hear what obedience to God truly is. And so I want you to understand as a Christian, you need to recognize that obedience to God doesn't always mean that it's going to be popular. In fact, I would go as far to say that to stand firm in truth, to stand firm in what God has told you to do, is going to bring intense persecution, intense affliction against you. Jesus says that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And Jesus was perfect and sinless, and they hated him. He healed people. He loved people. He was a servant to all, and yet they killed him. Why? The Bible says they killed him because they loved darkness more than they loved light. People hate truth. People hate righteousness. Humanity, apart from Christ, hates godliness, hates obedience to God, hates righteousness. So, as you see in this text, Moses was given clear instruction. He was to be dependent upon the Lord. He was supposed to hear the word of the Lord, to obey God. And whenever he didn't do exactly what the people wanted him to do, they came against him very hard, didn't they? They said they'd rather have died in Egypt. We'd rather be enslaved in Egypt. We'd rather be dead than, you know, be out here in the wilderness with you. And they came against him so hard. And his goal was to be dependent upon the Lord the whole time. Instead, he goes to the Lord, but yet takes matters into his own hands, because I believe he was frustrated with the people, and many times we fall into the same trap. We desire to be popular. We don't want people to be against us. We just want to please those and be people pleasers. And so what do? We cave, and we'd rather be popular than obedient to God. The second thing I want you to think about, obedience to God isn't usually pragmatic. What I mean by pragmatic, I mean it may not always be efficient. It may not always be built on compromise with everyone around you. It may not always be what society says works. I mean, what I think is interesting here is Moses strikes the rock, water comes out, the people are happy, They are pleased. It worked. You even see results as a result of what Moses did, but yet the whole time it was disobedience to God. Be very careful of thinking just because results are produced, God's pleased with what you're doing. I mean, we see this in ministries all the time, don't we? We see churches where, you know, they have thousands of people coming and they're having tons of baptisms, and it seems like, man, they're doing everything right, but the whole time, inwardly, there's ungodliness going on with the staff. There's disobedience to the Lord. There's domineering going on. There's sinful things taking place every single day within the ministry and taking advantage of others and this, that, and the other. But on the surface, man, it looks like they're the best because they have thousands of people there. I would say God is being faithful to himself and to his name in spite of those people. People are being saved because God is faithful to his promise in spite of other people. For example, I've heard this said one time, God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. My point to you is this. Just because you see you do something in your life, and it may be pragmatic, it may get results, I want you to understand that that doesn't mean that it's pleasing to God. God made it clear what Moses was supposed to do, and instead of listening and obeying, he did what he has worked before. That's what he did. He struck the rock before, and it worked, so he did it again. But that's not what God called him to do. So you have to recognize obedience to God isn't always or isn't usually pragmatic. I'm not going to say it's never pragmatic. I'm just going to say it isn't usually pragmatic. It isn't usually what the culture says, oh yeah, that'll work. So thirdly, obedience to God must be the priority. If you desire God's approval, obedience must be the priority. We have to get to the point where we say, I don't care what naysayers are talking about. I don't care what the gossips are talking about. I don't care how people look at me. I don't care how people view me. I want to obey God rather than men. It reminds me of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, I believe. They're brought before and they say, "You have got to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, or else, basically, we're gonna harm you and beat you." And they said, "You tell us what's right for us to obey God and keep preaching, or to listen to you and disobey God." It wasn't a actual question. It's rhetorical. They were saying, listen, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to obey God, whether you like it or not. And so I think there has to come a point in our life as Christians where we reason within ourselves that my greatest priority is to glorify God with my obedience. I desire God's approval more than I desire man's approval. And I believe in this passage we see a moment in Moses' life where he fell short of desiring God's approval, and instead he succumbed to the temptation we all do, and that's pragmatism, doing what works because we want to just please others. All the while, he neglects the fact that God's called him to be obedient to what he has told him to do. And so, those three things, I just want you to think about those today. Think about those in your life. Man, when you go to work, God's calling you to be a witness. God's calling you to stand firm, stand for truth in the workplace. But yet, you're so fearful of what others may think that you just kind of fall in line with everybody else that's not a Christian. I mean, maybe it's in your family, church, I don't know, wherever you are, whatever context you are in. I just want to remind you, here's two takeaways. Remember what God has called you to do. God has called you to love him with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. God has not called you to compromise with false gods and compromise with with paganism and compromise with popularity and pragmatism and compromise. No. God has called you to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't do those two things when you are compromising with the world. It's impossible. So remember what God's called you to do. And secondly, in the moment of conflict and temptation, ask yourself, am I seeking God's approval or man's approval? Ask yourself that. When you're faced with a dilemma, you're in the midst of the temptation and conflict, ask yourself, am I battling with this because I'm seeking God's approval or am I seeking man's approval? And I would tell you 99% of the time, it's because we fear men rather than we fear God. We want man's approval more than we want God's approval. And so I want to encourage you today. This is more of an exhortation and more of a devotional thought to examine yourself by these things. Trust me, I have to do this more than anybody. As a youth pastor at First Baptist Edmond, I spend time with people all the time. I hear suggestions and feedback and criticisms and even encouragements and all kinds of different things from people. And I have to ask myself, before I do something, an event or a ministry project or whatever it is, I have to ask myself, am I doing this because God is leading me to do it and I desire to please Him? Or am I doing this because I have fallen victim to pragmatism, to popularity, and to people pleasing? Because one of them is obedience to God and the other isn't. And so I just wanted to share that with you today. I pray that it does. I pray you evaluate yourself by these things. As a believer, I do pray that your heart would be that you desire God's approval, not man's approval. I'm not saying we should try to find conflict with people. I promise you, if you love Jesus and you live for the Lord, you will have conflict and you don't have to search it out. It'll be there every day. You don't have to search it out. If you stand for truth, you desire to seek God's approval, to obey God, I promise you, you'll have all the conflict you want. Not just internally, but also with others. And so we don't have to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. But my point to you is we have to begin to ask ourselves, am I doing this because I desire God's approval or am I desiring man's approval? Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.